church. And that first church, I submit to you this morning, was a Baptist church. It wasn't called a Baptist church in those days, unless we want to take the title from John the Baptist and call it a Baptist church. But it is my belief and my position that the very first church was a Baptist church that you and I, as independent Bible-believing Baptists, are modern-day representatives of New Testament Christianity. Folks, that's quite a heritage that you and I have, and I thank God for that, and I trust that we'll all have a desire to be faithful. Now, we're on lesson four, entitled The First Century, Commission, Corruption, and Carnage. Our thought here is that these three things began in the first century. And I would add here, as we have already previously, that these three things that began in the first century have continued right on through until this very day. The first thing that we talked about was commission. We're not going to go back over that. The early church fulfilled the Great Commission in the first 100 years to a great degree. According to the Word of God, I believe that they spread the gospel to all the world in their day. They did a wonderful job of fulfilling that commission. And by the way, it has been the church's commission in every age to reseed the world with the gospel. We're not reaching as much of the population of the world today as they did in the early church, I don't believe. But it's still our job to be involved, to be active, to be invested in fulfilling the Great Commission, both here in our neighborhood and across the world. We can do it here with our own feet and our own mouth and our own teaching. We can do it around the world by helping missionaries to get to the foreign mission fields. And also, of course, we have missionaries here in America. And so the first thing was that took place in that first century is the Baptists of that day were given a commission. The second thing that happened, and this will be where we begin where we left off last time, is this matter of corruption. Corruption. Now, folks, in every day, the devil has fought against the true church and the people of God. Early on, even in the first century church, even before the apostles all passed off the scene, corruption was entering into the churches. Church history, or Baptist history, is a long history of faithfulness and drifting and judgment, and then God raising up new folks to carry on the torch of New Testament Christianity. You see, the devil has always worked, and the Bible reveals that to us. Let me just spend just a little bit of time on two portions of Scripture to try to build the foundation for this thought of corruption that began in the early church, and it's been something that we fought against in every day. First of all, I'll direct your attention to Matthew chapter 13. I'm not going to ask you to turn there. I'm just going to make reference to it. Of course, in those parables, there was a change took place in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. In chapter 12, storms of rejection arose against our Savior, and the Lord Jesus Christ begins in chapter 13 to speak in parables. The disciples came to the Lord and they said, "Lord, why are you speaking to us in parables?" And the Lord told them two things. He said, "The reason I'm speaking in parables, number one, those that have heard the truth and rejected it, I'm not going to give them any new truth. Those that have heard the truth and have embraced it, I'm going to give them new truth and new revelation from God so that they can continue to grow in their spiritual life." The Lord Jesus Christ then gives the parables of Matthew chapter 13. Those parables in combination tell us of the conditions that exist in this day, starting with the New Testament church in the time of Christ and the apostles, and up until this very day, the conditions of Matthew chapter 13 have always existed. I would just point out to you, in Matthew chapter 13, verses 24 through 30, there's the parable of the tares. And you remember that occasion in the Word of God, the Lord told about how that there were tares, that is, those folks that are religious, but they're not saved. He said there's tares that are growing up among the wheat. And he said many times it's hard to distinguish it for people. It's hard many times to distinguish between the tares and the true wheat. But the Lord said one of these days, I will separate the tares from the wheat. But folks, I would direct your attention to this thought. In this day, the Lord is telling us that there is the false that is in among the true. There are the lost, the tares that are scattered in among the saved, the wheat. And the purpose for that is so that they can disrupt and corrupt and tear down. Many times the devil will bring somebody into a local church. They'll come in and seem to agree with what's going on, but after just a little while, they begin to sow discord, and they begin to go behind the scenes, and they begin to try to tear down what the Lord has done in a certain place. You see, in this day, there's corruption that slips in among the true, and the Lord said, that's a condition of this age. Now, folks, listen. That's what's always happened in every age, even beginning in the first century. And that's where we're at with this thing of Baptist history. We're in the first century. In Matthew chapter 13, in verses 31 through 32, there's the parable of the mustard seed. And you remember what happened? That mustard seed, which is an herb, it grew into a great tree. Now, folks, listen, that's abnormal. That's unnatural. An herb does not grow in nature naturally. An herb does not grow into a great tree and lodge all sorts of things in the branches of that tree. That's not natural and that's not normal. Our Lord said that's what's going to happen in this day. There's going to be some abnormal, some unnatural growth. And folks, many times, many people, it happens all around us. Churches will turn away from portions of the Word of God. There are certain things that they're not going to promote. There are certain things they're not going to teach from the Word of God. There are certain things they're not going to teach from the Word of God that are clearly taught in the Word. And the reason they don't do that is because they know it'll keep them from having crowds and it'll keep them from having the great numbers that they want to have. And they would rather have the prestige that comes with those things than to have the blessings of God on their life from being faithful to the things of God. Our Lord said in this day you can expect in the realm of Christendom. By the way, Christendom is a big term that we use and it refers to religion. And involved in Christendom is both the true or the saved and the untrue or the lost. And it's a big conglomerate. He said in this day that's going to happen. You see, I'm talking about corruption. It started way back in the first church. In the parables of Matthew chapter 13, in verse number 33, we have the parable of the leaven. And the picture there is a woman that took some leaven and she introduced it there. And the leaven would just continue to grow and multiply until the whole thing was leaven. Folks, I'm talking about corruption. You see the history of even the true church. Revelation chapters 2 and 3. Seven churches are introduced to us in Revelation chapters 2 and 3, there are seven churches that are introduced. All but two of those churches have something that's wrong there. Two of those churches in those two chapters of the book of Revelation are going through severe persecution. And our Lord doesn't give any word of chastening to those churches. They needed encouraging because of the severe tribulation that they were facing in their day. But five of those seven churches, now remember this, those seven churches actually existed in that day. Now remember, they're given to us in the book of Revelation, the last book of the Bible. They were churches that were in existence in the first century before the death of the Apostle John, who wrote the book of Revelation in about 96 AD. All of those churches existed. And the five that have a word of chastening or condemnation all had some corruption that had already entered in even at that early stage of church history. You see, those were true churches. Now watch it. You're going to read commentaries on Revelation chapters 2 and 3, and they're going to try to tell you that those were apostate churches in Revelation chapters 2 and 3. I beg to differ with that. I strongly disagree with that. Our Lord Jesus Christ is still in the midst of all of those churches. Their candlestick is still in place in all of those churches. And our Lord tells those churches, He said, now you need to repent. You need to clean this up. You need to get this right. Because if you don't, I'm going to remove your candlestick. Now what does that mean? To remove their candlestick meant for the Lord to remove Himself from that fellowship so that it would cease to be a light-bearing church. It would cease to be a Bible-believing New Testament church. But when Revelation was written, those churches were still in existence. But corruption had entered in. There was false teaching in some of the churches. There were false teachers in some of the churches. In some of the churches, they had those that were promoting an immoral lifestyle. And the problem was that the church as a whole wasn't standing up and saying, wait a minute, this is wrong, this is not right. Now, folks, could I remind you that eventually the sin that was in those churches overcame every one of them. And eventually their candlestick was removed because there's not a single one of those churches that are mentioned in Revelation chapters 2 and 3, there's not a single one of those churches that is still in existence today. Now, folks, here's what I'm saying. As you look at Baptist history and we go back to the first century, God started a great work. And as far as the commission goes, they did a marvelous job of spreading the gospel to all the world. But something else happened, and that is corruption began to come into the churches. And many of the churches, even at that early period, were overcome by that corruption, and they ceased to be churches. But remember, God's always had that faithful remnant. And when one church ceased to function as the Lord intended, I'm talking about in the first century, the enemies of the cross of Christ began to kill the people of God. Folks, it started early. It started early. I mean, you read Acts chapter number 12, the first verse, and James the apostle was killed by the sword even at that early stage. So you see the carnage or the persecution even unto death of the true people of God began way back in the first century. Now remember, in a general way, I'm going to be the next lesson I'm going to introduce, hopefully this morning. I'm going to be more specific about why God's people were persecuted. But we've already listed two things that caused the ungodly, those who were not saved, to persecute the people of God. That's because true Baptists, true New Testament Christians, have never been willing to conform or to compromise. We've always said this. We believe that the Bible is our only rule for faith and practice. And if it's not in the Word of God, if it can't be defended by the Word of God, we're not going to stand for it. We're not going to conform to it. We're just simply not going to do it. And by the way, our forefathers were always hated by religion, organized religion and secular governments because of the fact that they were never willing to conform or to compromise. So the carnage began. The carnage began. The devil began to work through the various powers that were there to simply try to kill all who stood true to the Lord Jesus Christ, that is, Baptists. Can I read a quote from J.M. Carroll? And I've mentioned that little book, and I would encourage you all to get that little book. Let me just throw something out here. All of you that, most of you folks are, many of you are computer literate. You need to go to Victory Baptist Press. You know, we support a missionary through Victory Baptist represents Victory Baptist Press down in Florida. You can get signed up for their newsletter, and they will have specials. They have a lot of good books at Victory Baptist Press. I buy books through them often. And you can sign up to get their free newsletter, and periodically they'll send you something on your computer. Yesterday, the little book that I'm about to talk about, the little book by J.M. Carroll, The Trail of Blood, it normally sells for $5 or $6, just a little paperback book. It's not very big. Saturday only, Victory Baptist Press had that little book on sale for $2. You could buy it for $2 yesterday only. It ended it when they closed, whenever that was, yesterday evening. You know. But I would encourage you to get signed up on Victory Baptist Press, and that'd be one good place to find some good books. But anyway, I just thought about that. I'm going to quote from J.M. Carroll, and they actually had that little book on sale yesterday for $2. So I'd encourage you to get that. Here's what he said concerning this matter of carnage or the people of God being killed even way back in the first century. J.M. Carroll said, however, it left a terribly bloody trail behind it. Judaism and paganism bitterly contested every forward movement, talking about of the true church. John the Baptist was the first of the great leaders to give up his life. His head was taken off. Soon after him went the Savior himself, the founder of the Christian religion. He died on the cross, the cruel death of the cross. Following their Savior in rapid succession fell many other martyred heroes. Stephen was stoned. Before I finish reading this, let me say this. Some of these things that he's saying are some of the types of death that some of the people of God died according to tradition or history. And many of these are not actually given in the Bible. So you may or may not agree with the form of death of all these people. So I just want to point that out to you since I'm reading this quote to you. It says that Stephen was stoned. Matthew was slain in Ethiopia. Mark dragged through the streets until dead. Luke was hanged. Peter and Simeon were crucified. Andrew tied to the cross. James beheaded, and of course James is given to us in Acts chapter number 12. Philip crucified in stone. Bartholomew flayed alive. Thomas pierced with lances. James the less thrown from the temple and beaten to death. Jude shot to death with arrows. Matthias stoned to death. And Paul beheaded. He said, more than 100 years had gone by before all this had happened. This hard persecution by Judaism and paganism continued for two more centuries and yet mightily spread the Christian religion. It went into all the Roman Empire, Europe and Asia and Africa and England and Wales and about everywhere else where there was any civilization. Now, the only correction I'd make there, I don't agree that it went to about anywhere else there was civilization. I believe that it definitely went everywhere that there was any civilization. And all the churches greatly multiplied and the disciples increased continuously, but some of the churches continued to go into error. So folks, three things began in the first century as we look at our heritage, our history, the history of Baptist folks that believe just like you and I. Most everyone here that has been involved in the work of God or been in church any length of time, almost anyone here could actually name a church that once had services, just like we have services, but today the doors are closed. It's been shut down. There's no longer a church there. What happened? in one form or another, we may have no knowledge of it, of exactly what, but in one form or another, corruption entered in. It was not dealt with. It began to grow as leaven does. Eventually, the whole thing was leavened, and it's a church no more. The corruption began against our people in the very first century. And folks, that's the reason we need to be diligent every moment, every day, every service here at Philadelphia. We have to be on guard. We have to be mindful of staying true to the Word of God. We must be mindful of saying, this is it. The Bible says, be ye holy as I am holy, because if we allow that which is wrong to come in and we don't deal with it, it'll get us all. It'll get us all, and we'll be no more. Our commission began in the first century. The corruption against us began in the first century, and carnage began. That's probably the hardest one for you and I in America to understand, isn't it? We don't know anything about persecution. The worst any of us have ever had to happen. The worst any of us have ever had to happen. We're on visitation, somebody slammed a door in our face. I've been in Montana and been on visitation and knocked on doors. You know what they tell you out there? I've had them tell me out there, I moved to Montana to get away from people like you. Wow. There's a good point in being independent people, but it's not good if you're independent from God, though, you see. You see, the worst thing you and I have ever had is a door slammed, a harsh word spoken, perhaps. Somebody called us because we wanted to live right. Somebody said, well, you just think you're better than everybody else. Boy, we just feel so persecuted. They don't like me. Well, bless our little hearts. Our forefathers had their blood shed. They actually gave their life just because. Now, watch it, folks. Do you realize this? Just because they wanted to come and meet together just like we're doing right now. They gave their life because they said, you know what? I'm going over to church and I'm going to listen to the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. And people hated them for that. And they said, no, you're not. And if we have to, we'll kill you to keep you from doing it. And they did. Folks, it still happens in parts of the world even this morning. But you and I don't know about it here in America. Well, let me introduce the next lesson. The first century, there were three things: commission, corruption, and carnage. Lesson number 5, the second century, true saints still stand and die for Christ. In the second century, I've entitled it, true saints still stand and die for Christ. Now, I would remind you that in this series, I want to take us through each century, and show you that our forefathers existed in every century in an unbroken chain from the very first church until this very day. Now, we're not going to deal with every century in detail. I'd be here for a long, long time. But the Jews have always been that way. They've always been that way. And so they hated the Christians. The Jews hated the Christians. Why? Because the Christians wouldn't continue on the Jewish religion of the Old Testament. They were dead set on it. They said, we're not going to accept Christ. We're going to continue the Old Testament ways that we were used to, and we're not going to change. And so they began in a general way to persecute the Christians in isolated persecutions. But over time, that isolated persecution of Christians by the Jews, it began to give way to deliberate and organized persecution by the Roman emperors. Eventually, as we look on forward, after a couple of centuries of persecution by the Roman emperors, another change took place. I'll come back to this, and this is not in my notes right here, but I want to throw it out here. So the persecution began at the very beginning among the Jews against the Christians. That gave way to persecution by the Roman emperors against the Christians. And then in the early 300s, the baton, if you will, of persecution passed from the Roman emperors to the Roman Catholic Church. We list the beginning, the official beginning of the Roman Catholic Church as 313 AD when Constantine signed the Edict of Milan. And I consider that as the official beginning of the Roman Catholic Church. And as time went by, persecution passed from the hands of the emperors of Rome to the hands of the godless and wicked Roman Catholic Church. Now, we've given some general reason for the persecutions. I've said many times, I repeated it this morning, Christians, Baptist folks were not willing to conform or compromise. Let me be more specific. Now, let me give you three areas or three reasons why they were persecuted. Now, those are valid that I gave you, but that's very general. And you're going to notice that one of the things I'm going to do as we continue on, I'm going to be more specific about some things. So that's what I'm going to do now. What are some of the areas that our forefathers refused to conform and compromise in? Let me give you three things. Number one, they were persecuted because they refused to worship the emperor of Rome, whoever he happened to be at a certain period of time. And because of that, they were considered as disloyal to the empire and as rebels. You see, the Roman emperors demanded worship as God. And the Christians, our Baptist forefathers, they refused to worship the emperor, obviously. And because they refused to worship the emperor, other citizens of the empire considered the Christians as being disloyal citizens and being rebels against the empire, and they persecuted them mercilessly because of that. Secondly, now this, and you have to, we'll have to explain this a little bit. The refusal of the Christians to worship pagan gods branded them as atheists. How does that work? Because the Christians refused to worship the pagan gods, they were called atheists, and they were persecuted because of that. Now, why did they do that? It's really simple. All the pagan deities had an image or a statue. And so those that worshiped the pagan gods, they would bow before or stand before the statue or the image of whatever their god was. Perhaps it was the great statue of the goddess Diana. And on we could go. But every pagan deity had some sort of an image or some sort of a statue. And of course, God forbids his people to have an image or a statue. And that even goes today, folks. We don't have any images in here. We don't put up any kind of a likeness of Jesus Christ or anything like that that we actually bow before, or stand before, and worship before, because it's forbidden in the Word of God. And because they didn't have a visible image of their, quote, God, they were called atheists by the pagans of the day. And they were persecuted and hated because they said, well, they're atheists. They don't believe in any kind of a God. Number three. They faced the wrath of unbelieving Jews and Gentiles and were falsely accused of a lot of things. I've already talked about being politically disloyal and atheist. You know what they were considered? Early Christians were slandered by calling them cannibals. They persecuted them because they said they're cannibals. Why did they call them that? Why did they say that? Because of the Bible teaching concerning, in the book of Corinthians and all, concerning the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, that's symbolic, and we understand that. But the pagans used that against the Christians and referred to them as cannibals. And they used that as a means of persecution. They persecuted them because they accused them of being immoral. The Bible says, greet one another with a holy kiss. Now, folks, we don't do that today. understand that. But in some days they did. And things like that were seized upon by the unbelievers, and they accused the Christians of being immoral because of teachings of the Word of God, such as that. They accused them of a lot of things. Now, they persecuted them. The enemies of the cross of Christ in every day can always easily find something to accuse us of. Now, folks, it's no different today. If you believe like I do, and I know many of you do, I believe that the King James Bible is the holy, inspired, inerrant Word of God. Folks, we believe that we ought not to lie. I'll tell you what, they'll find fault with you. If you say, you know what, folks ought to be right, people ought to be holy, people ought not to lie, they'll laugh you to scorn. And they'll say, what's wrong with you? Everybody lies. Everybody lies, and it's ridiculous for you to make statements like that. If you say you ought to live a pure life, they'll find fault with you about that. Listen, those that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ or those that may be saved and just not right with God, they'll always find fault with if you stand for the Word of God. It's been that way in every age, and it's still that way today. And these are some of the things that they did then. Let me mention this. After the general persecution of the Jews gave way to the organized persecution of the Roman emperor, there were 10 major persecutions that took place by the Roman emperors. I'm out of time this morning. I'll come back next week, the Lord willing, if the Lord tarries is coming. I will briefly mention these 10 persecutions and say some things about those. But at this point in time in Baptist history, we've gotten to the second century. And so we're talking about our Baptist heritage. Father, thank you now for your goodness. Bless your people in the morning service. We'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.